I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Our topic today, it's time to bring laughter into the workplace. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time, Lighthouse provides in-depth work style and personality assessments for both new hire candidates and for staff development. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations, and if you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program. On your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we'll open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you can want to consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Mickey Williams, CSP, who is a longtime friend and business colleague. Mickey is an inspirational humorist, business motivator, internationally recognized as a speaker, trainer, consultant, author, business and life coach, radio and TV personality, and entrepreneur extraordinaire. She is the chair of two Visage groups. Visage is the world's leading executive organization and has been one of the top speakers for 15 years and speaks on business dynamics and human potential to companies and associations worldwide, and also is recognized as for coaching individuals and teams to reach their goals and objectives. Mickey has a speaker school in Chicago, and I believe the next one's coming up on between April 22nd and 24th. You can learn more about Mickey at going to www.mickeywilliams.com, Mickey with two Ks. I feel privileged to have Mickey with us today. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be 10 ways to become a more effective manager through time management. Mickey, I want to welcome you.
Dana, thank you, and thanks for that great introduction. I'm honored to be here, especially because you're my number one favorite groupie. Anytime in California, Dana, you're in my audience.
This is very cool. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. It better be fun. It's humor in the workplace.
That's right, and we all need that, don't we?
Absolutely. Picture this. An out-of-work Lehman Brothers broker, a laid-off Ford auto worker, and a broke AIG executive walked into a bar. No, I'm not going to tell you jokes like that. The companies where humor is part of the culture, Dana, have a competitive advantage because each company has its own unique cultural considerations which will influence what will and will not work. So, you know, it's up to all of you out there to make your own best guess as how to go about lightening up your work environment. And we all know there's not much to laugh about in these challenging economic times, the new normal, as they call it, with companies failing and jobs disappearing. So humor in the workplace is exactly what's necessary. And if you're ready to go, Dana, I'm about ready to give them all the good reasons why.
We are ready to rock and roll, Mick.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the why. Well, number one, it boosts morale. Obviously, feeling good about your job nowadays or feeling good that you have a job nowadays, if you've got a light, humorous atmosphere, then people are obviously going to raise the morale collectively. You know, I find even when I speak to an audience, one person laughs, the next person starts to laugh, the next person, so it begats itself by actually infecting the whole place. So it definitely raises morale. It encourages creativity and problem solving. You do a lot of exercises, as I do in my groups, and I encourage all of you, a couple of my favorite books. One is out now called Thinker Toys. That's T-H-I-N-K-E-R, Thinker Toys. And an old classic by Roger Von Ock about whack on the side of the head. Yes, that's the title of the book. The second book was actually called A Kick in the Seat of the Pants. But those are two books I recommend that have very simple one-page exercises that are fun, which is what we're about, creativity, which I believe equals problem solving, that what-if thinking. So I would encourage all of you, whether it's a management meeting or a company-wide meeting or just in the general course of the day, to incorporate some of these creative exercises. If you can't think of your own, I've just given you two great resources to do that. Moving on with that is reduces absenteeism. There's statistics, and I'm not going to quote them to you because it does change, and I'm not the numbers gal. I'm more the soft skills side of this program today. But I can tell you honestly, statistically, it's been proven that humor in the workplace does indeed reduce absenteeism. People look forward to coming to work. And on the other side of that coin, because it does, it increases profits. You gain clients. Clients like to work with people who are happy in their jobs. People who are happy in their jobs have humor in their workplace. We're going to talk more specific about how do you get that, but these are just some of the reasons why you need humor in the workplace. People will work harder, they'll gain more clients, and that'll, of course, increase profits. So, Dana, you can interrupt me anytime.
No, you're doing great. You're doing
okay,
because
you know
if
you're going, I'm just going to keep talking.
Keep going.
All right.
Also, for those of you who have questions, I want to make this an interactive program, so on the screen you'll be able to throw questions out. We'll try to get to as many of you as possible. We'll also be opening up the line at the end of the program, which we typically do on open line. So, Mickey, keep going. Keep rolling.
So some of the other reasons we need humor in the workplace, it actually boosts people's ability to perform at peak level. And why is that? Because it raises self-esteem. When you feel good about yourself, you actually work at a higher level because the accolades that come your way or the self-satisfaction all contributes to self-esteem. And people who have higher self-esteem are more comfortable with humor and fun. They're not so concerned with how they look or what it is. They're just comfortable with who they are, so it definitely increases peak performance. Increasing interaction, well, that's almost an obvious one, but for those that are not sure what that means, I'll give you a perfect example. I said I chair two Vistage groups, which Dana's heard me speak at them, as well as the two that I run, and at the holiday time, we exchange gifts each year through that surprise Santa thing where you pick a name out. Then we got creative, as I just suggested you do, and decided to have fun with it. So now we pick names out of the hat, and we give gifts, but they're toys. And they're toys that represent what we think is the personality of the person we're giving it to. And then we donate all the toys to a children's hospital after the event. So what could have been just a mundane holiday party or even the extent of exchange of gifts, we turned into a fun thing. And this is something you can do in your company as well. Increases employee retention. Again, statistically, yeah, there's lots of statistics that say people tend to stay in companies that have a good culture, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about culture and where it's fun. Another book I'd recommend right now is very popular. It's out called Happier by a Harvard professor whose name is so long I can't pronounce it at this moment, but you'd easily find it. And it talks about the degree of happiness in our lives, and it's a good acid test. And people who are happy in their lives like to spread their happiness, and so part of that would be with the employees. One of my clients, I was just in California speaking for a great employee-owned company called Hot Dog on a Stick. If you're out that way and listening or reading along with this, then you know the company.
You work for a Hot Dog on a Stick?
Hot Dog on a Stick.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
Exactly what it says, Dana.
And
if you, in my e-zine this month, I put out a monthly e-zine. If any of you want it, just go to my website and sign up. But my e-zine this month has a picture of me speaking to all of them, and they're all in their Hot Dog on a Stick hats, which is quite humorous. And there was so much laughter in the room the entire presentation. I mean, I'll certainly want to take credit for some of it, but it was the jovial atmosphere that carried over from their culture and their work environment that actually continued outside of that. So, yes, employee retention, if you ask them how long they've been there 20-plus years, as long as the company.
Hey, Mickey, I have a question just came in. If an organization, let's say, is in the financial business or the construction business, would it be fun to have maybe a dress-up day where everybody dresses up like the most outrageous construction person or most outrageous funny financial person, just to make it a fun experience or activity?
Andy, you're getting ahead of me. Don't steal my minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. that question just came in about that, dressing up. So.
Well, I'm going to address that, so if we can hold off on that, I'd rather wait till we get to it, because it's more, now I'm trying to give you the why, and then I'll give you the how part of it, if that's okay.
Perfect.
All right, so let's move on, and I'll give you a couple more of these. It reduces stress, absolutely. Anybody out there have stress? I know I do. I'll give you my three favorite stress tips. These are real short. Number one, use your MasterCard to pay off your Visa. I know you're laughing out there. I know you are. You're not really need this seminar or webinar. Number two, make a to-do list of things you've already done. Takes away all your stress. And number three, when someone says, have a nice day, say, thanks, I've made other plans. All right, so with my three favorite stress tips, yes, humor definitely reduces stress. Why? Because it makes you feel good, and we all know when you feel good, the endorphins, which are a hormone, are released, and they're the feel-good hormone. It's what runners hit when they hit a runner's high, and then after they hit the wall, they start to feel euphoric. Sam's shaking her head no, and she's a runner. Thanks, Sam, for that endorsement. Anyway, humor makes people feel good, and it inspires leadership. People gravitate towards people who are humorous. They attract, they have a charisma. So sometimes people will go more towards you and your work team or wherever it is if they find you're the one who doesn't take life so seriously or the business so seriously. So that's how it inspires leadership.
Should a question, Mickey, came in. Should every company incorporate humor into the workplace or are there exceptions? Maybe it wouldn't be appropriate.
Well, in my experience, every company should. You know, it's almost, Dana, when I'm talking to executives, and I speak to high-level CEOs all the time, and I get all different industries, and it's very easy for someone to say, you know, as I'm sharing a business idea or something to that effect, they'll say, oh, well, you know, that's well and good for that industry or for you or for that person. And I believe that's a cop-out. That's a rationale for maybe just being put in their discomfort zone. So I believe everybody can put humor in the workplace in the context of what fits their culture, their personality, their style. It's not cookie cutter. It's very unique, and I believe that passionately that it can be in almost every single workplace. And when I talk about inspired leadership, it takes me to the next slide, Dana.
Okay.
Some of you may be familiar with Herb Keller of Southwest Airlines. If you've ever flown Southwest, you know this is a company and a culture of humor and fun. I literally, and you see by his quote, and I read his book, Nuts, and if you haven't read it, I recommend it. It's an inspiring leadership book. What we are looking for, first and foremost, is a sense of humor. We hire attitudes. And the old cliche in the hiring and recruiting field is hire on attitude, train on skill. And if you're not doing that, I challenge you to take a step back and look at the way you're hiring. I mean, it's a different seminar, but basically that's really what it talks about. And Herb Keller is inspiring. I'm not asking you all to get dressed up in Easter bunny suits as he does or hide in the overhead bins. But if you've ever flown Southwest, and I literally get on a Southwest plane, I can't wait to sit down and be entertained because I know that I'm going to be entertained. One of my favorites was the flight attendant who was giving the pre-flight directions who said, by the way, anyone caught smoking in the lavatories will be fined $2,000. And we know you don't have $2,000. You'd be flying Delta. I'm glad I have you, Dana, because I see that audience reaction.
That's great.
But so they have a culture. I don't have to make another point about it. It's definitely a culture, and you could see it if you don't know what it looks like. There's obviously one of them. Do you have to be Southwest? No. Can you be partly? Can you model the behavior? Absolutely.
Mickey, a question just came in. I'm just going to read it. It's a little long here. How do you avoid lawsuits from people who apply for jobs and get turned down when you do not focus on skills instead of sense of humor?
An interesting question. I'm certainly not an attorney, so I'm not giving legal advice. But I use the DISC profile in a lot of my seminars, and there's a lot of behavioral instruments out there from Myers-Briggs and Berkman and all the others. So I use the DISC profile, and I often tell my clients, because I do encourage them to use this as part of the hiring process, that it must be incorporated as part of the entire process and not used as an eliminator, or else it violates the EEOC guidelines. And I guess the same thing would be true on the hiring in terms of the personality, attitude, the fun. As long as it's incorporated into the whole process and of what the qualities you're looking for in the people who fit your culture and environment, I believe that you would be avoiding any potential legal action.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so moving right along, as they say. Ben & Jerry's, another great example. Some of you may be aware of that. They also have a culture of fun and enjoyment. Their book, which I highly recommend, The Inside Scoop, How Two Real Guys Built a Business with a Social Conscience and a Sense of Humor. One of my favorite Ben & Jerry stories was when they were looking for a CEO, and they did a nationwide search, and it was in all the media, and the search was called, Yo, I Want to Be Your CEO. People had to write in essays based on that as to why they were qualified to be the CEO. So here they were recruiting for a very important position with a very lighthearted face to it. So again, you know, you may say, and again, there's people going, well, they're ice cream. We're financial services. Well, that's an airline. We're a funeral home. I don't buy it. It fits your culture. You can create the personality. You can do it through creativity. You can do it in a lot of different ways. Humor in the workplace can be defined very differently by a lot of different people, and I don't believe there's one right answer.
I use Play-Doh.
Yeah, Dana, you know, I think you've caught your fair share of Play-Doh from me.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I use Play-Doh at the end of my presentations. It's part of a trademark copyrighted speech, I should say, and the context of the speech and the whole part of it is about you having the power to shape your life any way you want. And one of my challenges at the end is to challenge all the executives to go back and get Play-Doh for everyone in the company or to give it out at an annual meeting. I have so many Play-Doh cans from different companies. I was hired by a San Francisco consulting firm, and they gave Play-Doh out to all the employees. They had me as a speaker, and they gave everybody the Play-Doh, and on the back it had Swinnerton Annual Consulting, Aspirations, Inspirations, and Motivations. I worked for EDS, another little company in upstate New York, and they had Shape Your Future at EDS. And I go back into these companies, and all the employees have Play-Doh on all their desk because of it was brought to them in the context of we can shape this company any way we want.
See? Yes, and it's an inexpensive little thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's another perfect example of how you can be creative and have fun at the same or different times. There's a lot of different ways to approach the same topic.
Is that a question you just came in? Is that a discussion that management teams should have as far as culture and values incorporating humor into it?
No, that's a great lead-in, Dana, to the next slide.
Okay. Okay.
That one. All right. Click. So you can go. There it is. All right. Oh, we're missing a slide, Dana. I think you and
that's
I
right, that's right.
A rehearsal. This is the one we're missing. It actually is, it's a lead-in answer to your question because the number one thing I have is management has to support the concept. So, yes, I do believe it's a culture thing. I do believe it starts at the top. Because you can't have humor if management does not buy in and if management is not part of. So I think you do have to take a look at your values, your core purpose, your mission statement, all of the things that I would hope permeate your culture. You know, that's another thing. I challenge people around values, and I challenge them not only around their personal values, their relationship values, their family values, but I also challenge them around company values. And one of the things, you know, I know this is not, it's not that speech, Dana, so don't worry, I'm not going to give it. But one of the things that comes around that is, you know, do you have these things in your company and how deep does it permeate your culture? Is it just words on a plaque in the lobby? Is it just on your brochure? Does everybody know it? What is the example of it? So an answer to that question, a long-winded answer to a short question, but that's why I'm a speaker, is basically, yes, management has to support the concept.
Okay. All right.
The thing that you're not seeing is hire fun people, and that goes back to the question that was just asked by one of your viewers. Hire fun people. Don't hire people that I call that are humor impaired. People have no sense of humor. You can tell when they walk in, they're vertically ill. I mean, they just don't get it. They've had that new operation. It's called a charisma bypass. Right? So you can tell people's personality, and yes, that should be a mix. I mean, isn't it important that people fit into your culture as much as on skill as well as personality and attitude? I believe it's very important. Another thing that's not on there, which is key, and this is something I started doing years ago, I share with my audiences, it's called a humor journal. A humor journal. And now I called it a journal, Dana, because I started 25 years ago before we had the crackberries, blueberries, and raspberries, right? But nowadays, obviously, this is where you'd create it or on your computer. But here's the deal. I mean, you may not have access to that at the time. Let's say you're at a cocktail party and somebody says something really funny. Well, if it was me, I'd be grabbing a cocktail napkin and writing it down because I don't want to forget it. And then when I get back to my room, I'd probably input it into my iPhone and then eventually into my computer. And I collect humor on a daily basis. And if you do that in the work environment as well as an individual, it's a great resource tool to be able to have that at your fingertips whenever you need it. So I suggest people create a humor journal.
Mickey, a question just came in. Are there any questions that somebody could ask during an interview process to find out what kind of person they are? Because people sometimes get scared during the interview or they're a little uptight. Any way to probe for that, or any thoughts on that?
No more than I'm a lawyer. I am not an HR person who deals in the fine aspects of that.
Okay.
But I can, you know, address it on a large scale in terms of what are your interview questions. I hope you have them set up ahead of time so you're not just kind of winging it. And if you have those interview questions, if you run it by your HR, and if you don't have HR, through an HR consultant or Invisage, we have a wonderful speaker, Hunter Lott, who probably has a website, Hunter, L-O-T-T, Lott, who is a specialist in that area. And if you wanted to contact somebody like him and ask that question,
okay,
probably have a lot more of a substantive answer than I do.
Okay.
All right, so now we're back to the page. That was the missing page, those three. Just to reiterate, the page that was missing was management has to support the concept, hire fun people, and create a humor journal. And for those who signed in late, you may want to know that on my website, mikkiwilliams.com, M-I-K-K-I-Williams.com, there is a logo, Mickey and Friends, on the right. If you click that, you can actually see my colorful, cartoonish, graphic handouts, which we weren't able to produce on this site. So you have a choice, or you can get it later. All right, Dana, moving right along.
Okay.
A humor library. Absolutely, anybody could do this. Easy. Start collecting those books, the funny books. You have people bring in their books or recommend books and create a little corner in the office or buy a little bookcase and create a humor library that could be filled with DVDs and CDs and books. And so if people take a break, they can go to the humor library and have some light reading to break the day. Dana, you probably know because you do get my e-zine. My e-zine title, you know, is basically, well, my e-zine title is Hair She Is. And that would be obvious if you're looking at me, actually seeing a picture of me, but I've got a lot of hair, so we know that. So my e-zine is called Hair She Is, and we call it Take a Break Today and Stop Being So Darn Professional. And it's a very lighthearted e-zine because I believe people need those breaks. So if you have a humor library, they can take it. Dana, your laugh, correct?
Oh, I love it. Hey, Mickey, this is an interesting question that came in. Is it okay if I throw one in?
Absolutely.
Okay. I signed up for this seminar because I am probably the least fun person in my office. We have an open office module structure. On one day, we are chastised because conversations are overheard by a customer on the phone, and the next day, management is tossing a screaming monkey across the room over the tops of the modules. I am trying to find the balance. Can you help me understand how I can buy into the humor in the workplace concept when I feel like I live in like dichotomy? I don't want to be the local stick in the mud. That's a great question, or thank you for sharing that.
Fabulous question. Change jobs. No, kidding. Okay. Well, I don't know how comfortable this would make you, but I would challenge management in a way that's not, to coin the word from Visage, carefrontational, as I'm confused as to what the culture is here, because one day we have the screaming monkey and one day we're chastised for this, and I'd like to be part of fun in the workplace if I know what it is and how appropriate it is. And so I guess, one person, it may take a village, but it takes one person at a time sometimes to change or inspire culture in an organization, or at least to be forthcoming with the confusion that it's creating, that you're not clear as to what it is. I mean, that goes back to companies that don't have any of the things I talked about, that are missing the values, the mission, the purpose. And in my experience as a coach and consultant in companies, that companies that lack that often lack an internal culture. And without an internal culture, there's often breeding ground for chaos. And not being in the company of the person who sent that in, it would be hard for me to make a judgment call. But for me, it sounds like there's some confusion as to what the culture really is. And the only way to get around that, in my experience, might be to challenge it in a carefrontational manner.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for asking that question. It's a really good one.
Yeah, it's a very thoughtful question.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the slides and some more ways to create the humor library. We did joke a day. I worked for one company where they actually had a bulletin board, which I think I talk about in another place as well, but people were able to bring in and highlight the joke of the day, and sometimes there was a contest around the one day of a week that everybody brought their favorite one in, and they got to vote on which one was the joke of the day, and that's when the one they kept hanging up for the entire week. So, again, have fun with it. There's no right or wrong with any of these things I'm sharing with you. They're all to be adapted to fit your internal culture and your particular style and the amount of autonomy that you have within the company as well. Provide challenging work. That might look a little funny and create humor in the workplace. I've found, again, in my experience, Dana, that companies that provide challenging work, there's more lightheartedness because there's more attention to the work at hand. And I'm not talking about overwork. I'm talking work that challenges is fun for a lot of people. And for the people it's not fun, they're either in the wrong position or the wrong company. So, again, it goes back to what's the culture, what's accepted, what are you comfortable with, what is senior management alluding to, what environment is being created. But providing challenging work often helps that.
That's great.
Okay, so that there's more where that came from. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
dress.
That's the question that came in earlier. Okay, dress.
Here we go. Yes, dress for fun days. Lots of companies that I've worked with have this. They don't have it. That's why they had me come in and teach them how to do it. It's having themes. The obvious ones are around the holidays. Obviously, you can have, you know, everybody dressed for St. Patty's Day. Everybody, you know, bring in Valentine and Valentine's Day. You can start with the obvious. If this is new to your culture and you just want to start to integrate humor in the workplace, then do it gradually. Start with some of the holidays. Pick one holiday. And then go for theme days. I work for a company out in California, IDEA, the Worldwide Association of Fitness Professionals. And besides being known for my hair, I'm also known for my jewelry and my shoes. Right, Dana?
That's right. You see Mickey's hair in the lower left-hand corner there.
So I wear a lot of big earrings. When you have big hair, you need big earrings. And they actually had a Mickey Williams earring day where everybody had to come in and wear the biggest earrings or create earrings. Oh, my goodness, you should have seen. One of the employees actually took keychains from the company and made earrings out of the keychains.
Oh, fun.
So, again, it was fun. They piggybacked off the fact that I had just been there to give a presentation and everybody knew that about me. They created a theme around it. So you can create themes around, you know, wear all white day, or it's, bring your neighbor's kid to work day. There's no end to the creativity. And, again, I go back to early on when I said creativity stimulates fun, exercises, creates humor in the workplace. Awards. And again, we don't always have to give awards for the most valuable player or the person with the best attendance or the person whose sales goals hit. How about an award for the person who always brings the humor to the workplace? How about the person who always dresses the wildest? Or create whatever awards you can. Talk about it, have subcommittees, all that. You know what? Senior management has given the okay or shown that it's okay to have fun and we want humor in our workplace, it doesn't have to be up to them to provide it. Then allow all the creativity for all the employees to come out and the awards, because that's in the trenches. They know who's doing what and what can be a funny award. And we do this in my Vistage group. We create awards based on different funny behaviors or personalities, things, characteristics that stand out. When we gave those toys, I mean, that was very funny. I mean, they gave me one of those Barbie doll, Barbie goes to, you know, glamour and stuff. I gave one of my members the Terminator because he's always pushing ahead like a tank. So you can create them based on personalities, dress, themes, clients, all kinds of things for awards. CFO, wouldn't you like to be the CFO, Dana? You'd make a great one.
I love that. It's great.
The Chief Fun Officer. Yes, there are companies that have this. For those of you out there who are going, oh, my God, you're aghast, well, you're humor impaired. Why not? Why not have a Chief Fun Officer? Why not come up with some other titles? I can't tell you how many times Sam gets a note from someone when she writes to them and she signs a director of everything, and people write back to her, oh, that is so fun. I want a title like that. Or my new sales technology gal is called my director of opportunities. So we try to create some fun titles. Why not? Come up with some exercises around that or let people create them.
That's great.
Good. Okay. The next one is a quote. William James is one of my favorite people to quote. Why? Because one of his earliest quotes that I never forgot was to live life flamboyantly. And thank you, William. I've been doing that my whole life, even before I knew you made a quote about it. But the one that I put here is really a good one as it relates to what we're doing today, Dana, is common sense and sense of humor are the same thing. They just move at different speeds. A sense of humor is just common sense dancing. Oh, I love that quote.
Huh.
I love that quote. And it's good, you know, collect quotes. As I said, I have a book of quotes, and we'll pick out a quote every month to give to my Vistage members. I'll use my quotes from different presentations. Why don't you get, well, you can always get my book, Mickey Mouse, but you can get quotes anywhere. You can get them online. And why not have a quote of the week that you send out in an email or put in the lobby so even when clients come in, they see, and they'll know immediately this is a fun place. Look, they've got a quote of the week when you come in. Look, they've got the chief fun officer welcoming me. So you're also demonstrating that to your clients and your customers as well as to what type of environment you have. If you've ever been to Ben & Jerry's, which I have, or to, you know, headquarters for Southwest or some of these other companies, you'll see there's a playroom with all kinds of toys. There's all kinds of environments that do that. We have a place here in Chicago called Catalyst Ranch. I know the owner, Eva. And if you're in Chicago or you've never been there, I'd recommend you take a trip down to Eva's place, Catalyst Ranch, because it is an amazing meeting facility. And I share it with you in the context of today's speech. She comes out of corporate America, and she created a meeting environment that is just filled with, some of you might call it kitsch. Do you know what kitsch is, Dana?
No, no, what is that?
Kitsch, you know, I don't know how that's defined in the dictionary, but it's kind of colloquial for little bizarre things when something is kitschy. And so she's taken a little bit of the 1950s, and she's taken some, you know, little dolls and feather boas and baseball caps, and when you walk, you come out of the elevator, it's bright orange. So she's taken color and toys to create a professional meeting environment. It's a really, really unique place. You should go to her website and just look at it, Catalyst Ranch.
So having toys in the middle of a meeting room, like they have a business meetings, people to play with and fidget with, that's a good thing?
It's a good thing for a couple of things. First of all, it's better than people doodling on paper and not looking up and paying attention. Sometimes people need something to do with their hands. It's also very creative, believe it or not, Dana, to be squishing a cush ball or to be changing hands with something that has some texture to it. Because in a, what's the word I'm looking for? In a word of movement, it stimulates creativity in a very subtle way, but indeed it does. And yet it creates, again, you walk into my Vistage room and you see colorful posters on the wall and you see some toys on the table. And at holiday time, Sam creates folders in the color of the holiday. And we have some, you know, red and chocolate Hershey Kisses on Valentine's Day. All of those things tell you, okay, this is a serious business group, but they have fun here too.
And those are inexpensive things that can do to make a whole different, create a whole different environment, it sounds
absolutely,
like.
Dana. I don't think there's anything I'm sharing with you today that is costly in any way other than the little time of creativity or motivation that it takes to create it.
And actually, in thinking about it, by creating the fun environment with those simple things, it's also making a statement about the organization, which then in turn becomes a retention activity, becomes a recruitment activity because people want to work in a fun environment.
Dana, you got it. You're stringing it all together. Good.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, every single one of these things I'm talking about is a link to another. They all begat each other. The creativity creates the humor. The humor creates the retention, the challenging work, the clients see it, the customers do. How many times have you had a client or customer say, I love doing business with Lighthouse Consulting. They are just so much fun to work with.
Right.
I find that an ultimate compliment, that to be able to say that we're professional as well as fun.
Right.
Okay. All right, moving on.
Let's go to the next slide.
Okay. Why don't we go to the next slide, Dana?
Perfect.
Good idea.
Yeah.
1080. They had just had a perfect example of it. You know, again, this is not something I'd recommend if you're just starting to look at the overall company and how to incorporate humor. Spontaneity sometimes has to be, it almost has to be planned spontaneity, if you know what I mean. If it's not part of the culture and if it's not embraced, it might throw some people to just be spontaneous in terms of where humor goes. But once it is integrated in the culture, it's probably one of the best aspects you can have, the fact that people can pick up on something spontaneously and feel free enough to just let it happen. I enjoy this one a lot, and if you're on my particular handout, you'll see a picture of me as a kid. Now, isn't that enough incentive to go look at this? It's a picture. It's having the boss, the employees, senior management, or anybody in the company have a day where everybody just posts pictures on the bulletin board of when they were a child, and you can have a guess as to who they are. I once did this for a Vistage national conference I was presenting for all the chairs, and I had written in and gotten baby photos of, I think, about 20 to 30 of chairs that were most well-known in the community. And I created a handout, and under each of their pictures, I created a riddle to help them figure out who it was, and it was so much fun.
That's a great idea.
Thank you. Thank you. Skips, I was just in Florida. CVS Caremark is one of my clients, and I was just in Florida. I do a trilogy, Dana, as well as you know, and I did part one for them last year. They invited me back to do part two, and at their banquet that night, they were all doing skits. Oh, my goodness, one on the Village People, so funny. How many people in senior management would be willing to dress up as the Village People in front of their employees? But again, you know there's humor in this workplace, that they don't take themselves so seriously, that they're creative. So where is the opportunity in your organization to do a skit? Is it your annual sales meeting? Is it a convention? Is it a banquet? Is it just in the course of something that happens internally? Again, it's a chance for all of us to take a step back and look at some of these things. What can we do and when can we do them? You know, this is a smorgasbord. This is not meant for anyone to exit today and go, oh, my God, where do I start? I can't possibly do all these things. It's kind of drinking from a fire hose. You just take one thing. If this isn't part of your culture, you take the one you want to start with. You see how it goes. You build on it. If this is a big part of your culture and you get a new idea today, absolutely worth the time, I would hope, invested in.
Hey, Mickey, if a company has an annual meeting and or a company-wide meeting for doing a skit, is it helpful to have people from different departments then kind of picked out? And they do the skit so everyone gets, oh, Susie was in there and Joe was doing this and everybody's represented.
Yeah, absolutely great idea, Dana. In my experience, yes, it works best. However, it also works best if you've incorporated, as I said, when I did the thing with the chairs, I picked up 20 who most people will know. When I customize a program for my clients and I interview the people of the organization I'm speaking to and I ask for some anecdotes, I want anecdotes of people that everybody will know or else it's going to fall flat. So when you're creating skits, it's great to have a skit with the person that's most obvious everyone's going to know about and then some other people around them. And another skit with one of the pinpoint person or the person that, as I said, most people will get the nature or the humor of the skit. Does that help?
That's perfect. That's
okay.
Great.
All right. So we got a couple left and we're right on schedule, I think, to have...
Perfect.
All right, cartoon contests, again, like the humor, the joke of the day. You can have people bring in their favorite cartoons. In part one of my trilogy, a lot of my points have colloquial names like the Charlie Concept and the Ferrari Factor. Remember those, Dana?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A lot of companies have taken those. I work for a company in Baltimore that actually took my 10 points, because they all have names like that, and created a year around each of those. So if January was Charlie month, and Charlie is a story about a train conductor, and humor, they all had to bring in a cartoon about something happened that was funny during their travel. So each month, they used one of my 10 points as a cartoon. Company mascot. I've been to companies where, whether it's a stuffed animal or a real one, most of the time, a mascot, I've seen it in where it's a cutout billboard of a person. I've seen it where it's a stuffed animal that's in the lobby, giants. I've seen it where it's in everybody's office on a desk. And I've seen the CEO or somebody's dog who's actually the company mascot. So, again, depending on the environment, you might look at how you can incorporate that. A humor motto. I really believe in the humor mottos. You may have your company slogan or your company mantra. My company mantra is be outrageous. It's the only place that isn't crowded. And I have several others. So I think a humor motto and the creativity in getting a team together or the whole company or however you want to incorporate it to come up with the humor model. So you got your professional one. Okay, gang, let's talk about our humor in the workplace motto. What is our company motto? Is it just to have fun? Well, boring. Let's get a little creative. What does have fun mean? And have everybody kind of board it, you know, posted up what kind of words come to their mind when they think of humor here at XYZ Company.
And also, so, Mickey, I've been fortunate enough to hear Mickey speak a number of times to business groups, and when you go out to companies for a 2 or 3 hour workshop, you have such a gracious way of getting everybody loosened up and getting into the mode of being outrageous very tastefully, but also giving ideas of what each person can bring to the table to incorporate in their world within the organization. I just love the way that you do that.
Thank you, Dana. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, that's my job, or in the sense I enjoy, you know, go back to when I challenged all of you for challenging work. I could certainly go out and give a cookie-cutter speech. I've been doing this for 25 years, but my challenging work is to find out who the people are, what the culture is, and then take what I know and adapt or customize. I call it two things. I call it customize, which is me learning about their industry, and personalize, which is learning about their people. And I think when we're talking about humor in the workplace, that might be something for some of the people to keep in mind. How do you customize your humor for your clients? And how do you personalize it for your own internal customers?
Ooh, that's an interesting concept. And I've been in a position where I've been kind of like the host for Vicky to come into a business group, and I've noticed when Mickey comes in, that she is.
And I thought I had a twin sister.
Yeah. Mickey checked with the chair and asked some very specific questions to access as much data about the audience quickly, and then jumps right into personalizing the information while giving the presentation, so it becomes a very engaging interaction right out of the chute.
Thanks, Dana. And again, that's what makes it fun for me, and I think that's what, as you said, to use your word, engages people, because it's about them. It's no longer about me, and I have fun with it. And people are, you know, you have to know what the fine line is. I would never go into a category, you know, the old when in doubt, leave it out, which is one of the things I emphasize in speaker school. So many times some of the people who attend my speaker school ask me the questions, and it's this very simple sentence, when in doubt, leave it out, or make sure the person that you're talking about is comfortable in what you're bringing about. So that customizing is fun for an audience. The greatest testimonial letters I get after presentation is when someone says, she customized the program, we felt that she was really one of us. I mean, that really is what it's about. So when we're talking about humor, customizing it to your internal and your external customers, what works for you. There's not one right answer here.
No, that's perfect.
Okay, last one or two. Let's see what we got, Dana. Okay, share funny stories at company meetings. Absolutely. At every meeting, there should be an opportunity for someone to relate an anecdote about something that happened with a client, something that happened internally. It's wonderful if senior management can be self-effacing, and I believe self-effacing humor is the absolute best kind if you cannot take yourself lightly. Most of the people who come to my speaker schools are executives, all-level executives, from CFOs to CEOs and sales managers, et cetera. And some of the biggest challenges they have is being self-effacing in their presentations. And this is one of the things we teach. How do you incorporate your own things, not to the point where you embarrass yourself or your audience, but how do you take the obvious and poke fun at yourself? And to be able to do that, if you go to Patrick Lencioni's book, The Five Temptations of a CEO, one of the five temptations is to be vulnerable. And having the ability to have self-effacing humor, especially when you have direct reports, I believe puts forth that you are indeed vulnerable. And vulnerability is not a weakness, folks. It is a great strength in leadership. That was a little aside, Dana. Sorry.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yeah.
Okay, so last two. So sharing funny stories at company meetings and a humor blackboard, which is pretty much like you can call it a bulletin board or the joke of the day or the cartoon poster. You can incorporate any of those. One of the companies that I work for has indeed a blackboard, so they can just kind of wipe it off day after day after day and keep changing and keeping the material fresh. And I think this is our last one, and it's a quote, which is a very interesting quote, because the title of part one of my trilogy, as you know, Dana, is A Balancing Act, Walking the Tightrope of Life. And it's a program about life skills and success skills. And then I happened to find this quote that actually emphasizes that. A well-developed sense of humor is the pole that adds balance to your steps as you walk the tightrope of life.
That's a beautiful quote.
Thank you. And it's in keeping with my company core values, and so I really enjoyed sharing with everybody today.
Mickey, a question. Who in the organization or among our listeners today, those attending, should be implementing or starting a committee or something like that to do some of these things?
That's a great question, Dana. Offhand, and depending, you know, I'm sure we have all different size companies, if there is an HR person or an HR department, I'd suggest it starts there. If not, I've had many of the CEOs that I speak to, they come back and they tell their executive assistant to get one of these things going, or they assign or ask for a volunteer. So, again, there's no right or wrong. I've seen it done all different ways, but if you had to pin me down to one, I'd say start with HR.
Have you found this harder to be implemented in a smaller company or a larger company, or does it matter?
It's not harder, it's just different. It's different. Smaller companies have the advantage of getting it out there faster and quicker. Doesn't have to go through committee, doesn't need approval. It's more visible. So it just is different. It may affect the length of time to start incorporating it. It may affect the quality and quantity of it.
Okay. And Mickey, you have lots of resources. Mickey's picture, you'll see Mickey's website there. You have lots of resources on there, but also you have a speaker school coming up?
I do, Dana. We do them 3 times a year in Chicago. We do them in February, in April, and September. They're 3 days. On day one, it's presentation skills, and day two is video coaching, and day three is on marketing speeches. And people can come from 1, 2, or 3 days. They often come back for a different day or to repeat. And I also bring these into companies.
So that's helpful for getting people to be able to speak in front of folks and being able to understand where they're coming from and present the right image.
Well, that's a whole other presentation, Dana, but I believe that everybody needs presentation skills. Everybody has to give presentations. Everyone has to communicate. And I believe there's a lot of room for improvement with a lot of people in my experience.
And that's what we've been talking about, is presentation skills, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all part of it. You know, in giving a presentation, that's interesting, too, because when people come to speaker school and they're at a certain level position and a certain company culture, they're like, well, I don't know if I could tell something funny in my speech. And we have, excuse me as I'm losing my voice, I'll take a sip. We have an old expression in the professional speaking industry: do you have to use humor when you speak? And the answer is only if you want to get paid. And so if you take that out of the profession, it's kind of only if you want to be enjoyed, hired back, or appreciated, or asked to give more speeches. People need humor because they need a break. I don't care if you're presenting your annual report and you've got all statistics, they even need more break, more humor. People need to laugh when they relax, Dana. When they laugh, they relax, and when they relax, they could actually take in and retain more information.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in just a few minutes after we conclude this show and turn off the recording equipment, we'll be opening up the line so you'll have an opportunity to talk directly with Mickey. You'll see on your screen an area to register for our upcoming May 4th open line program, 10 Ways to Become a More Effective Manager Through Time Management. Please sign up today and reserve a space for yourself, and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint, Mickey's PowerPoint, with the branding and cartoons on it of today's program.
Thank you, Dana.
You're welcome. So please feel free to share with others in your organization or within your association. We have quite a number of associations that joined today, and Mickey is a phenomenal speaker, as you can tell. Mickey and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Mickey for further discussion on specifics about your industry, your team, or how to just have some one-to-one time together to discuss any ideas shared today, you'll see Mickey's contact information on the lower left-hand
side. My email's down there, too, and anybody can feel free to email me. And if they go to the website, they'll also see information on – I'm actually doing a teleseminar, which I do every month on the 29th, and they change in topics. And they can also see information on my speaker school, my blog. I'm on all the social media. I have a fan page, and I'm on Twitter, and there's so many things, so I would hope and some of what I've shared today would inspire some of you. My webpage is what I represent in humor, and I think if you go to it, you'll see the use of color and comedy. You can sign up for the e-zine, and you'll get more examples of what I've shared today.
That's phenomenal. It's great information. I encourage everyone to go there. The information shared today is a property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in San Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a great day. Please hold the line. We're going to open up the line in just one moment after we turn the recording equipment off.